One Sunday, a preacher was delivering what he at least thought was a particularly stirring sermon on sin and damnation, and suddenly a storm blew in. The lightning flashed, the thunder crashed, the lights in the church went out just as the preacher reached his dramatic conclusion. Well, he thought, that should put the fear of God in him. Well, after the service, a woman greeted him at the door and thanked him for a fine sermon. As he puffed up with pride, she continued, "You know, when those lights went out, all I could think was, there goes the food in the refrigerator." Isn't it amazing how, in the midst of extraordinary events, you and I find it difficult to escape ordinary habits? And our Lord certainly understands this. In the gospel this morning, he paints for us a picture of the end of the world, and he concludes by saying, "Let him who is on the housetop not go down, nor enter into his house to take anything away, and let him who is in the field not turn back to take his mantle." In other words, when something extraordinary is about to descend upon you, perhaps some of your ordinary habits ought to be given up. Now, the end of the world will certainly fit into the category of the extraordinary, from which it might be wise to adjust some of our ordinary habits. But then the world will end for each one of us at the hour of our death. So perhaps, in preparation for one of these two ends, it might be wise for us to adjust some of our ordinary habits, such as putting off tending to those things that really need our attention. And knowing how much I fail in this matter, if I knew that the world was about to end, or at least my world were about to end, there's several things I'd wonder about. First of all, I'd wonder if I was at odds with anyone, or they with me. Was I harboring a bitterness, an animosity, an unforgiveness, a determination to get even with them? And if I saw that the answer to any of these questions was yes, I would do my best to resolve those hostilities. After all, what else of value do we human beings have except one another? Food and shelter, you know, are not enough for human existence. Far more important than getting even is harmony. And to attain harmony very often requires honest, sometimes agonizing, hard work with one another. We at least owe one another this much, that we not froth at the mouth at one another's existence. So perhaps, if my world or the world were about to end, I would work out with others the problems I have with them. The second thing I would wonder about was whether I owed anyone anything. And I don't mean house payments or car payments. If the world was coming to an end, I wouldn't be worrying about those. I mean, did I owe someone something personal? Let me explain. Some of you know the last words of the ancient philosopher Socrates were, "I owe Asclepios a rooster. Pay it back without fail." Isn't that wonderful? Surely Socrates was one of the wisest people ever to have lived, and probably we would expect him to say something much more profound on his deathbed. And I used to think that. Then I realized how very profound Socrates was. His dying words were evidence of how trustworthy he was in human relationships. He was faithful even in the small matter of a rooster. Trustworthiness, you see, is built up by us in our faithfulness in small daily things. As our Lord says, he who is faithful in little is faithful in much. And Socrates had spent a lifetime being faithful in small daily things, and that made him a trustworthy person. Each of us, both small and great, is born naked and penniless into a crowded world. And in the course of our life, greed or lust or self-pity or pride tempts us to stray into the backyards of other people. We take what is theirs, or we take more for ourselves than we need, and we give back to God and our neighbor as little as possible. Now, if repented of, those sins are forgivable. But at the final curtain of the world or of my world, I don't want to be found with my hand in someone else's pocket. So I'd wonder, do I owe someone an apology, a compliment, a pardon, a rooster? Do I owe God something more than I've been heretofore giving him? And thirdly, if I or the world were about to end, I would wonder, have I added any goodness or truth or beauty to the earth? Wouldn't have to be anything grand, however much my pride might want it to be. Did I ever once do something only because it was good and right, no matter whether the doing of it led to my immediate advantage or not? Did I ever once trace the truth to its conclusion, no matter where it led, and even if it led to the discovery of something in myself which hurt like death to realize, to face, and to deal with? Did I add to the beauty of the human trail and purify our moral climate instead of adding to its waste and doing no better with my mind and body and relationships than anyone else? These are three of the wonderings that I would have if the death of the world or my death were imminent. But if the world were about to end, I would have neither the time nor the opportunity to do anything about them, would I? You know, next Sunday is Christ the King, and then the Sunday after that, we're into the season of Advent. One of the reminders of Advent is that the Son of Man comes at an hour when we least expect, like a thief in the night. So let's you and I escape ordinary habits and get to work on these wonderings today. Let us stand and, in the words of the Nicene Creed, affirm the faith that comes down to us from the apostles. We believe in one God, the Father of the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is,